May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Since the first week of Lent, I have been working my way through Howard Thurman's Jesus and the Disinherited, slim little book written in the 1940s. In it, Thurman, a writer and a mystic, an African-American man living in the Jim Crow era, tells the reader a little bit about what Jesus means to him. And every Wednesday night this Lent, in person at first, and then over Zoom, I've sat with a few of you as we've explored what he has to say to us now. But I have been stuck in the first chapter for the last 5 weeks. I've been stuck thinking about something he says there, something I can't help but think about as we step into Holy Week. It is not a singular thing, he tells the reader, to hear a sermon that defines what should be the attitude of the Christian toward people who are less fortunate. There is a certain grandeur and ability, after all, in administering to another's need out of one's fullness and plenty. I can count on the fingers of one hand, however, the number of times that I have heard a sermon on the meaning of Christianity to the man who stands with his back against the wall. I can count on one hand the number of times that I have heard a sermon on the meaning of Christianity to the man who stands with his back against the wall. The masses of people live with their backs constantly against the wall. They are the poor, the disinherited, the dispossessed. What does our religion have to say to them? What does Christianity have to say to people who are suffering? What does Jesus have to say, not to those of us who are calm, cool, and collected, but to those of us who live in fear? That question has been haunting me for the last few weeks. Now, this may be obvious to you, but as a preacher, I spend a lot of time thinking about how I can encourage people to do good things, to be generous with what they've been given. And as we step into Holy Week, I hear Thurman asking me a different question. What does Jesus have to say to those of us who have very little to give right now, who have very little to give in the first place? Now, it might go without saying, but when I look at the life of Jesus of Nazareth, I realize that he doesn't spend a whole lot of time talking with the wealthy. Instead, he spends the bulk of his time talking directly with those who are poor. Not only that, Jesus is one of those poor people in the first place. Jesus of Nazareth was a poor man, the son of a carpenter born in Bethlehem, of royal lineage maybe, but not a royal lineage that mattered much in the days of Caesar. Jesus of Nazareth was a Jewish man living in occupied territory, a member of a religious and ethnic minority group living under Roman rule, a wonder-working preacher and rabbi who traveled backwater towns in Galilee. The Jesus we meet in our gospel today, the one walking triumphantly into Jerusalem, is this same poor Jewish man from Nazareth. He parades into Jerusalem on the wings of his newfound fame, only to be sentenced to death like a common criminal shortly thereafter, betrayed by his friend, abandoned by his closest companions, crucified under Roman law. What did this man do? What did Jesus say that got him in so much trouble with the powers that be? Now, for one, we know that Jesus spent the bulk of his time telling poor people that they were good enough, blessed even if they didn't have anything to offer, forgiven even if they didn't know how to begin to ask for forgiveness in the first place. Jesus spoke unashamedly about the dignity of the people he encountered, the poor and the lonely, the outcast and dispossessed, even the ones that society labeled notoriously, embarrassingly sinful. Jesus hung out with the wrong kind of crowd, not just the deserving poor, but the people least likely to be considered deserving of anything in the first place. And so today, this Palm Sunday, as we begin our long procession up to Calvary's Hill, we have to remember that Jesus did all this and more so that the most despairing among us would never, ever be alone. He took the form of a slave, the letter of the Philippians says. He took human form, not as a person with earthly power, not as the type of leader who looks the part and fits the mold of a king, but as one who could relate to the very bottom rung of every society known to humankind. He suffered so that in our very worst moment, that moment when you've lost all hope, that moment when you give into despair, you would find yourself in the blessed company of God in the flesh. This Jesus of Nazareth is the God who can relate to you at your worst moment. This is Emmanuel, God with us in the muck and the mud, God with us in our suffering, God with us in our shame. By walking this path, by walking that lonely road up to the cross, by taking on the power of Rome, by taking on all the hate and fear that humankind has to offer, Jesus showed us a new way forward, a way that provides hope for the hopeless cases, forgiveness to the irredeemable, joy to those who are mourning, and love, love where we were once consumed by fear and hate. Won't you join us, friends? Want to join us as we walk with Jesus into the depths of his suffering and his pain? Jesus, this week, will soon dine with his betrayer, lose the support of his closest friends, be sentenced to death like a common criminal, but rest assured, friends, death will not have the final word. Resurrection is coming. Resurrection is possible, not just for the ones who think they've earned it, but also for those of us who never thought we'd see the light of day again, those of us who feel specially undeserving. Take courage, friends. God walks with you in your pain and shame. God loves you more than you will ever know. So walk with us this week to the foot of the cross and onward to Easter, in the hope of resurrection. Amen.